Hey, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Get a Hand Up podcast. This is Camille Forte, and if you've been listening all along, I've just recently started calling it the Get a Hand Up podcast because I'm hoping to give you a hand up with your marketing and other business issues. Of course, no podcast would be complete with the illustrious, the magnificent, the one and only Michael. Michael?
Finally, Michael has come back to the podcast.
Oh, jeez.
The Rock. He was on Saturday Night Live this past week. I had to do it.
He gets worse every episode, I tell you. Anyway.
And I get cheered for.
He does. He gets more applause than I do, and it's my podcast. Anyway, it wouldn't be the same without you, Mike. So thank you for being here, too. And thank you, everyone, for your time. Remember, time, money is replaceable. Time is not. You can waste someone's money. That's a damn shame. But I shouldn't have said that. But if you waste someone's time, that's a whole other story. That's personal. Anyway, I'm bringing it back to basics today. And if you think that this topic is too elementary for you, chances are you've just stepped away from it for so long that you haven't thought about it in a while. And that's number one, why you really do need to stay tuned. And number two, why I'm going to try and keep it quick. Because this podcast is a special one. It's a basic breakdown. What happened was the information age. How's that for a nutshell? What happened? The world went digital. It did, yes. This had many implications for a business, many of which, oh gosh, everything from logistics, operations, management, leadership, and of course, marketing. And one of the things that happened when the digital era changed the marketing world, it changed the relationship between sales and marketing. Now, first, let me back up and say, notice I said relationship between sales and marketing. That right there implies that they are two separate entities. Now, it used to be that, and I'm talking about maybe in the 50s and 60s here, a salesman was a marketer because there wasn't that much opportunity to market. So if a guy went door to door selling vacuum cleaners or house cleaning products, whatever the case may be, it was his job to educate that housewife or whoever was at home, giving the poor guy a chance to rattle off a spiel about why this vacuum cleaner was so great. He had to do everything soup to nuts in one visit and hope to not be kicked out without a sale. Now, as time went on, we had a definitive split between traditional marketing and salespeople. Now, traditional marketing was more about TV, print, magazines, newspapers, your community publications, even local network TV spots. It's not dead. Today, you know, streaming is the new TV, so a lot of marketers are taking to streaming. But the simple fact is that there was still a division between who did the marketing and who did the selling. The marketing, even in the traditional era, is the person who pushed everything outward. Knowledge about the brand, knowledge about the product, knowledge about the service, competitive differentiation. What made that product so special or so different? What made you different from your competition? Now, that is still the case in that your marketer is still pushing all of that information out through channels like social media. However, in the digital age, we now have not only an entire new world of marketing possibility, but we have inbound marketing. And so we have people coming to read your blog and read what you have to say about this or that. And they're coming to your website because you either offered a great lead magnet or you had, you know, a free download or, you know, people visiting your site or your latest podcast or webinar because they received an email about it. And all of those are examples of inbound marketing. But notice, whether it's inbound or outbound, marketing is still about branding. It's about your competitive advantage. And as I tell clients, it doesn't matter if there are two of you selling the same product on the same street in the same town. There is something different about each of you. And so there's the competitive advantage, what makes you unique and differentiated. There's lead nurturing through email marketing. You know, we live and die by email today, and so email is an extremely strong way of getting new leads. But where does it end? It ends at the point where a lead becomes a conversion. That is a very definitive cutoff point. Now, looking back over time, sales and marketing were historically, in almost any industry, pretty separated, which doesn't make a lot of intuitive sense because sales and marketing are really, they're on the same team. They're trying to achieve similar goals, same or similar goals, some overlapping. But the marketer is all about your branding, your brand awareness, your exposure, your reputation, getting your content out there, and really creating a brand presence where everyone is today, which is in the digital world, the digisphere. That leaves a little bit of a void today because there are some people who overlook the fact that in today's digital world, do you still need salespeople? And the answer is yes. And it doesn't have to be salespeople in the traditional way, but you need to have someone who's going to be accountable for the leads that you're bringing in. Mike, you look like you're chomping at the bit.
I am, and I don't even mean to interrupt you, but this the whole stigmata right now in the world of sales and marketing is, and I know you're going to get to it, but what a lot of people say is, oh, if I hire a marketer, that's my salesperson also. And that's not the case.
No. No, it's not. I think that that's the biggest problem. I think that's what people overlook. If you have a great marketing team and you're getting a bunch of inbound leads and you've got new people subscribing for your email list, that's great. Your marketing team or your marketer is doing a good job, but someone, like I just said, has to be accountable for those leads. And what are you going to do with them? If you've had 100 people sign up for your newsletter in the last month, or, you know, if your website traffic is growing, that means that your marketer is doing exactly what you want them to do. But you need to take a moment out and say, well, I invested in digital marketing and it worked, but who is going to handle that conversion? Like a basketball example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you pass the ball to someone who's in a position to make a great slam dunk, but you just sit there all day long making passes, and there's no one to catch the ball and make the dunk.
And another analogy you can use is, like, with marketing and sales, is a football team. You have your quarterback that delegates to, you know, your wide receivers, your tight ends, your running back, fullback. You know, each one of those roles has a specific role to what he does on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
And a quarterback is the delegator, meaning he says, okay, I'm going to throw the ball to you, or I'm going to hand the ball off to you. And it's up to those respective players in those respective positions to do their job, whether it is to run out of bounds or catch the ball and get as far as they can towards the end zone and so forth. Now, getting back to the stigmata, is like a lot of times, even ourselves here, we've always seen here at Camille Forte, a lot of times a person, a new client will come in and say, oh, you're going to do my marketing, so how much am I going to expect in sales? And we have to have that uncomfortable conversation where 20, 30 years ago, it was not an uncomfortable mm-hmm. position. I personally feel, and you may disagree with me, people, when it came to understanding what marketing and sales are, got lazy and rather paying two different types of people that are experts in what they respectively do, just want to go to a place that's a one-all be-all.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that, because I agree and I disagree, and this is how. In the information age, in the age that we're in, the relationship between sales and marketing has changed. Meaning that it is now considered best practice for your marketing team and your sales team to go hand in hand and to be close friends and working together all the time. Now, I can tell you from personal experience that is definitely the case. A company that I worked for, actually, Mike, this was back when I met you. I don't know if you remember. This was many moons ago at a certain company.
Mm-hmm.
There was always...
Good people there. Good
yeah,
people.
Awesome people there. It was a fabulous company. Really happy times there. But for the longest time, there was a discrepancy between the sales team and the marketing team, because the sales team didn't really understand, and I'll admit, you know, maybe part of this was because I took the program into a new digital world, and we were one of the first marketing divisions or agencies in the country to start providing all digital marketing services. And what we had was a team of salespeople all across the country who didn't understand the tech. They weren't up on the lingo. They didn't really understand, okay, what is this SEO that I'm selling? What is this social media that I'm selling? And it resulted in a lot of conflict, until one day I had a virtual sit down with the guy who was sort of the head of sales in his region. He, regardless of his position, he was sort of the guy to talk to, you know. We all know the guy to talk to isn't always the guy with the title. So,
or the smarts.
True. But he was the guy to whom everyone listened. And I said, look, this is why all this conflict's happening, but neither of us are benefiting from this conflict. You know, you are pushing things that you don't understand just to get a signature on that paper, and we're the ones dealing with unhappy customers when they come back and say, well, you know, so-and-so told me that you'd be providing. I said, instead of, you know, playing like little children and each one who can run back to the head, you know, the president first and say someone did wrong, let's get on the same page. We're both here for the same thing. We both want to be successful. And we both have the potential to bring an insane amount of success to our clients. We are first movers here in the country in this digital world. So let's make it great. And we had a fabulous relationship after that. But that is not something that happens naturally in every business, in every organization. So when you decide to invest in digital marketing, which is critical, and because we live in a digital age. I agree with a former coworker and client who said it shouldn't even be specified anymore as digital marketing because all marketing is digital, which today is pretty much true with few exceptions. Just don't forget the other part, that when that person is bringing you traffic and saying, hey, you're doubling your traffic month over month, I'm helping you build your email list, you've got people signing up left and right, if you just let those sit there, then you may have overlooked something, or you may not be aware that things have changed over time. And someone, I remember once someone saying, well, when's the phone going to ring? The phone's not ringing. Well, guess what? It's 2017, and I'm just going to pull a statistic out of my wazoo here.
The wazoo.
And say that, you know, 4 out of 5 people... I'd go even further and say 49 out of 50 people, they're not looking to pick up the phone and, you know, talk to you the old school way, the way that you got leads 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Things work differently now. So someone signing up for your newsletter, someone, you know, seeing that you're getting website traffic, people signing up for different things, taking your online quiz, whatever the case may be, those are your leads. And if you don't have someone who's dedicated to closing them, then it's you. You are your own sales team, and you just didn't realize it, and you're failing at your job.
I agree, Camille.
Is that too strong of me to say?
No, it's actually... The thing is, we live in a world in which we have become spoiled little brats. Let's just be honest about it.
I have to agree with that. That's true.
You know, I remember back in the 56K modem days on AOL. Yes, I'm going that far back.
I still want that sound as my ringtone.
I could get that for you. But, I mean, back then, if we wanted to read the latest sports scores from the United Kingdom, or I have a friend, a dear friend, she and I have been friends for 25 years, and we met on AOL. Her brother and I used to play PC games in the 90s. And the thing is that back then we learned patience. We learned that it would take a few moments to upload a page, a few moments to get into a game, a few moments to do this, a few moments to do that. We live in such a digital spoiled age where everything has to be instantaneous. Now, I myself, Camille won't admit to it, but I myself am guilty of it. If you want to see Michael rage, put him in front of a slow browser and have him look up something on Facebook.
Oh, it is... How many times I have heard the rant, the spiel, the speech, Camille, I need reliable technology. I need technology I can count. Yada, 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 yada.
Agreed. I'll admit to that. I do that. But the thing is, in our day and age, because marketing agencies, and I'm not saying for those that are marketers out there, but I'm saying as a whole, that marketers are setting the example of saying, oh, I'm a one-stop shop. That's, you'll probably hear that being said if you're looking for marketing, or you're a marketer yourself, hearing somebody else say, oh, well, this person is a one-stop shop because they could do my sales and marketing. But the truth of the matter is that the way to end the stigmata is to educate your customer, or have, or be educated.
I think it's stigma. Stigma. I think stigmata is the religious thing.
Yeah, I was watching a movie the other day. It scared me. So, but the whole stigma to it is that everyone thinks a marketer is your salesperson. And the best way to...
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it is. Like, some of our clients, the first things they say is, oh, when's my phone going to start ringing? I'm like, I don't know, when somebody calls you. But, you know, the whole thing is that they expect the marketer to bring sales in. Now, some people will disagree. They're going to say, oh, my marketer is my salesperson. But if you're building a house from scratch, would you want your electrician and your plumber to be the same person? Or would you rather have a plumber and electrician that are separate and they're perfect at their respective traits rather than being so-so at both. And that's what it boils down to. Now, for those marketers that are listening to this podcast that are, you know, getting ready to go on Camille Forte's hashtag and say, no, I'm a salesperson and a marketer, you got to ask yourself this question.
Hashtag Ask Camille just blew up.
Yeah, Ask Camille. Yeah, exactly. But as marketers, for people that are looking for marketing, we got to separate this and make people understand. We could, as marketers, we could bring you people because that is our job, to bring awareness to your product, your brand, mm-hmm. your service. But you have to have a dedicated salesperson that's saying, okay, just like when you're running a marathon, when you're handing the baton, the marketer should be running the first leg, handing the baton to the salesperson that's going to bring it home.
Now, let me play devil's advocate.
That's my job, actually.
Just to play devil's advocate?
All the time.
Okay.
Ask my ex-wife.
Well, all right, give me a go at it. So let me play devil's advocate and say, but, you know, I just spoke to Camille on the phone the other day and she said that she could be a one-stop shop. And, you know, that Forte Online Solutions, you know, and what a clever name that is, get it? Forte, and anyway, never mind. So, one of the other differences in marketing today, I think, is that marketers have the ability to take that customer life cycle a lot further to the point of conversion. So, for example, your marketer now can engage the cold leads. Your marketer can, or your marketing team can turn them into warm leads, retarget them, nurture them through email marketing, even prime them for conversion with things like webinars or lead magnets. Your marketing team, your marketer can bring that lead farther. Would it be farther or further?
Further.
Further than ever before. But even if it's just a grain of sand of distance between having that hot lead and a sale, that is a critical distance that still needs to be covered. And so even if you do hire a one-stop shop, remember, that means that you'll be left to convert those people.
Now, let me play devil's advocate now. What was the last time you saw a used car salesman at a dealership market their cars?
Never.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, again, if you're looking for a marketer, or you're a marketer yourself, or you're probably sitting here listening to the podcast saying, you know what? I hired this marketing firm. I'm paying thousands of dollars a month to them. They're not doing their job because my phone's not ringing. No, they are doing their job. Their job is to market your brand. In order for your phone to ring, it is up to a salesperson to finish and close that sale. Even if the CEO has to roll up their sleeves and pick up that phone or start typing in Outlook to reply to emails, you still have to have a sales type of distribution to help bring in revenue.
You know what I miss?
Cable TV.
When I worked in the automotive industry, okay, one of the drawbacks of working in the automotive industry was tracking conversions. Because once you brought a lead into a dealership, no matter how that lead came in, it was sort of like standing on the boardwalk and throwing the crumbs of your pizza on the boardwalk, and a flock of seagulls came and, you know, and they ran. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna. But they come in and they take all the leads. There was never any question of why didn't my marketer close the leads. And I'll give you an example. That automotive crash that happened, what year was that? That was like 2008 to 2011. Yeah, 2008 to 2011. And I had on my client roster over 30 dealerships that were American manufacturers. And if you're not familiar with, you know, the industry at that time, American auto manufacturers were going under fast and hard. Dealerships were closing down left and right. And not a single one of my dealerships went under. Not a single one closed its doors. Why? Because they acted on every single lead, every single email that came through, every phone number that came through, every name that came through. There was someone ready to take that lead and say, where can I take you next? Would you like an appointment? Can we talk? No one ever complained, oh, you only brought me 300 leads this month. Mm-hmm. Because they acted on those leads, and they, you know, not a single one of those dealerships closed their doors.
Exactly. I remember that. I was there at that time before I left to pursue, you know, my ventures.
Mm-hmm.
I do wear a cape, yes. But, you know, the thing is that the reason why we have this podcast is because people do not understand that a marketer and a sales rep are two different agencies. And in order to be successful, you see Microsoft. Microsoft has their marketing division, and only thing that Microsoft does is just market. They get out the new information about the new Surface tablets or a new Xbox One game or a new Windows program or app or something. That's all their marketing needs to do, is make you understand and hear or see the new product. And once you're interested, then there's that lead form, there's that click now button and so forth, and that's where sales comes in and captures you in, or captures your client in, or your customer, and says, okay, you know, now you're interested in this, what can I tell you more about it in order for us to do business? And that's where people are getting confused. And if you are, I know you're chomping at the bit, Camille. I'm sorry about this. The thing is that as marketers, as all of us as being marketers, we must educate our clients, our roster, that's who we are, our marketers. Now, if you do sales, that's fine, more power to you. But if you don't, then there is that subconscious thing on your, you know, on your client's mind saying, well, I'm paying this guy or this agency this much amount of dollars, and they're not bringing me sales. And if you're not doing sales and you're just doing marketing, you need to be very clear with your clients.
Agreed. You know, and I, again, in today's digital age, marketers have more ways than ever in history, in the history of our species, our specie, I should say, we have more ways than ever to bring tons of people right to your front door, literally right up to your front door. But as a business owner, it's up to you to open that door, welcome them in, offer them a drink, let them sit down, decide who gets the remote. No, I'm just kidding. But it is up to you as the business owner to say, okay, this is where I want my marketer to bring the people. Here's where I'm going to pick up the ball and turn it into profit, revenue, sign up, you know, whatever your ultimate goal is. Mm-hmm. So we
will love to hear about this from you guys. I know it's a holiday weekend, everybody's rushing out the door. I'm hoping that you're listening to us while you're driving to your weekend resort or fun vacation, or you're going back to work on Friday, but that's okay though. Or Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Or even Monday. Hey, working on a holiday, it's time and a half.
It's a great podcast for a drive, and it's, you know, a good one to think about over the long weekend, because what if you get back to the office on Tuesday or whenever the case may be, and, you know, you decide that maybe I have been overlooking that a little bit. Is there a gap in my customer life cycle in my business?
Or is there a gap of me being a business owner not understanding why my marketer is not doing this when my marketer should not be doing this? It should be a salesperson doing this. We would love to hear from you. Well, mostly Camille. I only read it and just pass it on to her. So hashtag that to us at Ask Camille and give us your thoughts. If you disagree with us, let us know why. I would love, well, Camille would love to know why. And, you know, that's how we're all going to grow. I mean,
no,
as much.
I think we'd both love to know. We'd probably argue about it, and, you know, until the next podcast. But Send me a message on any social platform. I'm easy to find everywhere. Or just make a post anywhere and just include hashtag Ask Camille, and I'll get your question. And by all means, disagree with me, argue with me. I want to hear different people's points of view, and that's how we all move forward. That's how we get better. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I think it's really good to get back to basics and think about things from a fresh perspective, and no better time to do that than a long weekend.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
So thank you for spending a half hour of your time with us. Please have a very safe weekend, a fun weekend, a meaningful weekend, a reflective weekend, goes without saying. Just make sure that everybody's safe and back in their respective places come next week.
Mm-hmm. Again, hashtag Ask Camille. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.